Israel and Judah. Chapter 23. Elijah's Spirit on Elisha. Only two instances are recorded of men who have passed from mortality to immortality without going through the grave. They are Enoch and Elijah. Others have gone to heaven, but they have been raised from the tomb, among them being Moses and the saints which arose from their graves at the resurrection of Christ, the multitude of captives whom he led with him, when he ascended up on high. Translation of the saints. We have noted in the work of Elijah several points of similarity with the message which is to prepare the world in these days for the second coming of Christ. The call is to be given in the spirit and power of Elijah, but the likeness does not end there. Those who make ready a people prepared for the Lord will be on this earth when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 114,000 were redeemed from among men. These are the ones prepared for the Lord, on whom the seal of the living God is placed, who are without fault before the throne of God. Thus the people in whom the message of Elijah is fulfilled will share his experience in being translated without seeing death, in the presence of God. It was revealed to Elijah that he was to be taken up into heaven by a whirlwind, and the fact became known also to Elisha and the sons of the prophets. How Elijah's heart must have thrilled with rapture at the thought that the last day of earth had dawned, and ere its close he should see the face of him in whose presence he had lived. God was to him the living God, before whom I stand. And this consciousness of his presence had been the source of all Elijah's power, and the preparation for his translation. Enoch also, who was translated, had walked with God. Concerning Jesus, the scripture says, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell. You shall make me full of joy with your countenance. So, too, those who meet the Lord at his appearing are made ready. The message of preparation, given in Isaiah 40, is to behold your God. The studies which are followed every week in the present truth call on us to behold God, and point to the revelation of him that is made in all his works. To receive this message and to behold God is to know that we are always in his presence, and the acknowledgement of this fact that in him we live and move and have our being will prepare us to meet him in peace at his appearing. A double portion. Elisha desired a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, and this he might have if he should see the angels that bore Elijah from the earth. The fact that he did so was evidence that his eyes were opened, that there was done for him the work that he asked God to do for the young man at Dothan, who beheld the mountain full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The very seeing of spiritual things was the receiving of the Spirit, for it is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Elisha's request for a double portion of Elijah's spirit was not dictated by any desire to outshine his predecessor in exploits and fame. Had there been any thought of this, he would not have received his petition. The man who prays for the spirit with any thought of self-exaltation knows not for what he is asking. Elisha knew that he was called to succeed Elijah. He knew the work was infinitely beyond his strength. He was anxious that it should still be carried out aright, and he felt that if Elijah needed so much of the Spirit of God, his own need was doubly great. Some regard the outpouring of the Spirit as not absolutely necessary to the Christian life, but as being a very distinguishing addition. Such need to learn that at their best state they are altogether vanity, and then they will seek for the Spirit as the very essence and beginning of the divine life. A hard thing. Elijah could say nothing as to whether this request for a double portion of his spirit would be granted. It was not under his control. He was subject to it. He warned Elisha, however, that he was not asking for something that was all ease and prosperity. To some it might seem that Elijah's lot was one to be coveted, awing kings by his word, bringing rain and fire from heaven at his call, and enjoying communion with the Creator. But he himself knew the other, inner side of a prophet's life. He whose eyes were open to behold God could feel, as others could not, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Like Moses and Paul, he had great heaviness and continual sorrow in his heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. To the nation it seemed a light thing to go on carelessly in wrongdoing, putting on one side the tender entreaties of a loving father. But to Elijah's enlightened understanding, the sight of their willful ingratitude brought something of the anguish that wrung the infinite heart. To those who receive the Spirit of God there comes a new, appalling sense of the guilt of turning from the Lord, and despising the riches of His grace. Ask and receive. No one can tell the motives that are in the heart of another, but God looks on the heart. He knew that Elisha's desire for a double portion of the Spirit was that the divine life might be abundantly revealed, and so, though the request was a great one, it was granted. There is no promise in the Scripture more plain or more emphasized than that relating to the bestowal of the Spirit. God is most anxious to give it to us, far more so than the most earnest seeker is to receive it. If men would submit to the teaching of the Spirit, they would learn that often, when they felt especially tried and discouraged, the Spirit was working to convince them of sin that it might also bring the comfort of righteousness. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. As Elijah's mantle fell from him, Elisha took it for his own, and it was a sign that the Spirit of Elijah rested upon him. That God was with him was seen in the parting of the Jordan at his word. No respect of persons. God is no respecter of persons. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and whatever God did for him, he will gladly repeat to others. Moses was honored above many, but it was not a special honor for him alone. To his successor, and to us, the promise was given. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Elijah's history gives encouragement to all. Although but a man, God wrought great things through him, so that he was more to Israel than the chariots and horsemen thereof, who now will come up to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Receive the Spirit and power of Elijah. Stand faithfully for truth. Count not his life dear for the excellency of the knowledge of the living God, and have the privilege of being redeemed from among men to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. E.J. Wagoner.